Banging Beers Podcast, episode 170, Benny's Brewing. We've had Benny's on before. We've done it a while ago. I think it was pre-Bob. It was
yeah, I know. I wasn't on one.
It wouldn't be BC. It'd be BB before Bob. but that episode, I believe we did their like hop series where it was the same style beer, but we did
each one was
a different hop profile, which was a very educational episode because it's like, oh, that's what Sabro, that's what Galaxy, that's what Simcoe and Mosaic, I believe what it was. But it was really cool. It was a good episode. They are back in the rotation. Bob went and grabbed some beers. We do have a beer called Kiss My Mule, Kraken Melons, which is funny, Green Tea IPA, and Cherry Dreamsicle. And then we do have a show beer that we have going on here, Chimay. And I'm not even going to try this. Let's one.
Call it 150.
150. What's it saying? Is that Spanish?
I believe it's Latin.
Latin.
But this is a made in an abbey, and this was the 150th anniversary beer.
Okay, so we're getting a little fancy today. So that's what we are drinking, myself, and then we already said Bob at the table, just two of us riding it here. Like we said, this may be what you're going to see for the majority part, and then if people are free, they will be joining us on the show here and there. Guest seats are always open. If you're ever interested, let us know. And we're doing a bi-weekly rotation, so we can take those extra Saturdays or Sundays and go and film content out at places. So if you want to support us, we do have a Patreon. It's a monthly donation. You can do a dollar, as little as a dollar, or you can do as much as you want, whatever you're willing to do. I know in times of this, it's tough to do that, but it does cost us a little bit of money to keep not only this show, but the network that we're on running every month. So anything can help when it comes to like audio services that we use to stream this out to places, or video services, editing software, because we have this new equipment that we can go out to places that's very, very small and very, very compact and very, very easy to bring in places and get content now. So we're going to be able to do that very, very soon. So like Saturdays, we can go out and do some fun things and everything like that. We do have merchandise if you want to grab some merch, as well as if you can't do any of that, there's also a tip donation in a link tree as well. If you can't do any of that, we completely understand. Times are tough. People are struggling. I'm in your boat. I'm with you. You can always just share, like, and subscribe, or leave a review if you're listening to this audio only later on. The live chat is open if you're hanging out with us. If you're listening to the audio and you're like, what are they talking about? We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. So if you go on YouTube, which we're trying, the one we're trying to grow, and hit your bell notification, it'll alert your phone every time we go live. And then you can join our live chat and talk to us while we're doing this podcast, and you can tell us what you're drinking. Today is the 31st. And it is 1 p.m. we go online. So we're going to try to stick to that 1 p.m. time slot every other Sunday. I do have some stuff going on after this show, so it's going to be not short, but I'm not going to drink as much, as well as yesterday was kind of a busy drinking day with Schuylkill County Brew Fest, which we're going to get into. Yeah. Anything else before we – housekeeping stuff you want to put out there before we get into this?
Actually, I was surprised at how many people in the crowd and the brewers
knew who we were.
Actually, yeah, because I had a podcast T-shirt on, so I was legitimately surprised at the amount of recognition. The not that they necessarily knew who I was, but that they knew about the show.
Yeah, a lot of people were like, "Oh, I see you guys on social media," which is good, which means wow, social media is important and we should make posts and do things. Because three or four breweries, I went up and handed the sticker. I said, hey, we do a local podcast. I'm not sure if you ever heard of us. And I handed it, goes, Banging Beers Podcast. He goes, yeah, I'm aware of you guys. And I was like, wow, like it's same thing here. It caught me off guard. So it is super cool. And like I said, we travel literally, we can do an entire podcast and I can fit it into a fanny pack now. How sick is that? That's super sick. So full disclosure, there is some things I still want to get for our accessories that I can do, and we can do more with the GoPro. But essentially what we're at now is we can walk in with a GoPro, put it on a table, put four wireless mics or five. I could do up to eight people. I don't think we need eight people, but I could do up to one to eight people with a GoPro and record anywhere instead of bringing my $1,200 camera and have like all this stuff. I do want to get one more GoPro so we can do multiple camera shots. So when you're watching this back later, we could be like, hey, a shot on you, a shot on me, a shot on the guest, and then one down the table, which I think is kind of a cool look. But once again, all goals, and we can do it very, very discreetly, and we're not taking up a lot of space, which is kind of the goal. I don't want to go into a brewery and be like, hey, can we come here? And they're like,
yeah, but we need to hog up a quarter of your floor to
And then we need to carry lights and all of our cameras and everything in here while your customers are trying to do things, and then make it super quiet and tell everyone to shut up. Like, I don't want to do that. I want to keep the environment of your business. I want to keep that environment of people around talking and having a good time, music playing, whatever may happen, and recreate that in a podcast. I think that's different than everybody else, where it's like a closed set type thing. I want to embrace that. I think that's really fun. But yeah, and this way we're not taking up a shit ton of stuff. We're not taking up a power source. Like, we can do everything without even a power source near us. It helps to have one, but we could do that. Like, you know, it's all on batteries, and the quality stays really good, and the visual stays really good. And that was always my goal, is I don't want to sacrifice quality for simplicity. You know what I mean? But super excited, a lot of fun, a lot of cool things coming to the future of the show. Let's go. Yeah, you're already cracking this one here, the anniversary.
I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with this.
All right, so what's going on here? Let's read this off.
Well, yeah, read the description here.
I'm taking, like I said, smaller pours, and Bob said this one's a little bit of a heavy hitter, right?
Yes. So we're just going to stick to the English version of the name, and we're going to call this Chimay 150. It is brewed by Beers de Chimay from Belgium. It comes in at 10% ABV. It's considered a Belgian strong golden ale, and it's listed at 31 IBUs. This has been logged in just shy of 20,000 times, where it averages a 3.74. 24 of my friends have checked this in, where it averages a 4.14. And going to the write-up here. Chimay 150 was brewed to celebrate the 150th birthday of the brewery based at the Abbey de Scormont. Chimay 150 is a strong blonde beer that is refreshing and fruity, tasty, and intense. Its mint, bergamot, lime, and eucalyptus aromas are enhanced by a touch of invigorating ginger. Its mellow, rounded body and smoky, spicy flavor is typical of Chimay beers brewed with Saaz and Hallertau Mittelfrüh hops. A secret spice is added to produce this unique taste. The flavor profile is listed as strong, spiced, floral, hoppy, and alcoholic.
Yeah, it's really not, like, I guess a little bit of a strong is there, but this is really smooth for being a 10%.
Like, a lot of the stronger Belgian beers, you get that distinct taste from the yeast. I get
the ginger.
I get a little bit of that there, a little bit of the ginger, the bergamot.
I don't know what bergamot is.
That's what gives Earl Grey tea the unique taste. Mm. It's just blended perfectly.
Brian, the beer snob, hanging out with us in the chat, says, cheers, gents. What's going on, my guy? If you guys are cracking anything today on a Sunday, let us know in the chat what you're drinking. Or if you've been drinking anything this weekend, let us know. We'd love to know about it. Yeah, that's really tasty. That's a very smooth.
ABV is pretty well hidden.
Yeah, very much so.
You can tell that it's got some punch, but it's not like a really, there's no real strong booziness.
Yeah. So yesterday, School County Brew Fest, we get there, we do the VIP. You like to do your, like, my goal, here was my plan. I wanted to start a little bit, but I wanted to pace myself, right? Because the heat, I have a problem with the heat. And I have a problem with, like, overheating. And I knew I had a long day and a long weekend when it comes to the wrestling stuff I have to do. And I wanted to be an adult about things. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to shoot myself in the foot yesterday and then not be able to watch the pay-per-view that I have to obviously talk about on Thursday. And then I also have a show that I have to do today. And I didn't want to feel like absolute dog shit for today's show, as well as the Bang & Beer show, as well as the commentary I have to do later. So I was like, I gotta plan this out smart. So I was gonna walk down the street, see everybody, and then walk back and catch up with you. Because full disclosure, when you go to a brew fest with Bob, he loves Untappd, right? He has a plan set. So you take a photo, you drink your beer, you check it in, and you have a conversation. So by the time I went down the street and back up, Bob hit like four stands.
Well, part of the problem was I think it was actually the second place we stopped. The brewer had neglected to enter their beer in Untappd and asked me if I would do it for him.
Yeah.
So that
slowed you down a little
instead
bit.
Instead of like maybe 3 minutes there, I was there for 15.
Yes. And here is where Bob is just irreplaceable on this show is you have those connections with the breweries where you take the photo with them and you're asking about the beer and you make a very, very strong connection and you represent the podcast. So where I can't do that because I'm pulled in 15 directions and I'm a nerd and there's pro wrestling there, you held the fort down for the podcast and were able to try a lot more beers than I did. And then you have a way better tolerance than I did that you can experience all those. Cause if I would have done a fourth of what you probably tried, you'd have been peeling me off the sidewalk by 2 o'clock.
I can't remember if I logged 33 or 36 from yesterday.
Oh my God.
And, towards the end, Rosa kept dragging me back to the wrestling ring. So there's,
I love the fact she's so into wrestling.
So I have three or four more that I need to post today yet.
Yeah. So as soon as we walked in, the very first one we stopped at was It was right next to Stoker's. Who's next to Stoker's? I have a photo of it. I took very little photos, but I have one. My whole plan was to go around the entire Brewfest and snag photos and get like a vlog style video that lasted almost next to nothing. That it just didn't. Fetish. We stopped. That was our first place we went to, and Fetish's beer of the day was like a triple. And I was like,
triple IPA.
And I was like, oh my God, we're starting the day off with a trip. What a trippy. But it was really good. I enjoyed the beer. I don't even remember the name of it. And then we went to Stoker's.
Stunt 20.
Yeah. Then we went to Stoker's and they had their Chipotle pepper beer. Which was,
it was actually a smoked beer with Chipotle. Yeah.
Smoked Chipotle, yes. That was unbelievable. Stoker's, dude, we said this before. Stoker's is low-key a super underrated brewery in Schuylkill County and in Pennsylvania. For being a one-man operation, that dude kills it.
We drove by on the way in, and he's open today.
Yeah, so good. And then that's kind of where I went off the rails when it comes to most of my day. The ones I do really, really, really recall having that were insane. Was it Seven Sirens for the VIP? I got to try their bourbon aged barrel cherry. There was a cherry one, and there was there was two different ones there. One was I forget, but the bourbon barrel cherry that they had was so good. It was like a stout. It was unbelievable. It was so, so good. Who else did I stop at? There were so many I missed. So many. And then like I got to the point where I was just like, all right. So if I stopped, they had a lager, or if they had a pilsner, I just said, just give me that. Because I wanted to like pace myself, but I don't remember most of what I tried.
On the first round, I tried to emphasize on ones that were competing for the belt.
Yes.
And then go back and just do whatever on the second round. But
who was your vote?
I ended up picking the winner.
Did you?
Yeah.
So did I.
So I couldn't believe like between the people who just randomly came up and said something about the show, and I actually ran into quite a few friends there. I didn't make a lot of progress on the second round.
Yeah. Did you try any of the homebrew stuff?
I tried all of them.
Are they good?
Yeah, there was no bad beers there.
I heard everyone was saying they were very, very impressed with the homebrew. Like a lot of people were talking more about some of the homebrew stuff than they were the actual breweries, which is a cool indication for people who are homebrewers, right? So here's the beautiful thing that I think they did this year. They put the breweries were spread out more. Because I remember last year when you hit the center sidewalk, the other half of the street was almost like just vendor.
And yeah, they did a good job of mixing. So they had the wineries and the distilleries all down at the end by themselves. Yeah.
And they did a really good job of mixing everyone together. So there was a distillery, a winery, a vendor, bunch of breweries. And then at the end, they still had breweries and vendors and distilleries with food trucks. And then they had one full section by the
at the very last end of the block
there, where it was all homebrew. And people really liked the homebrew competition.
What I think it was, though, is they all participated in the separate homebrew.
Yep.
And then because there were three or four homebrewers mixed in with the regular crowd, but they weren't involved in that competition.
Yes. And here's where this is something to me that stands out when it comes to Pilgrim doing the homebrew thing. Pilgrim, this is what, their fifth Brewfest or sixth?
Fifth or sixth, yeah.
And when they first started doing Brewfest, they were homebrewers. They were homebrewers who started a Brewfest in Schuylkill County. And now they, like, we just celebrated their 1 year anniversary of their building, first year anniversary of their first location.
Somebody actually, like, brewery staff actually came from Florida.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like they just sent some beer and said, find somebody. Like, somebody from the brewery.
Yeah.
Really came all the way up here from Florida. Yeah,
Pittsburgh. There was a lot of people who made some trips. Maryland was another one there, I believe. But these were home brewers themselves who have worked their asses off to get to a point where not only they have a successful brew fest that's bringing people from all over the country, but also showcasing other home brewers, where it's just like, hey, like, if you work and you're passionate enough and you put your time in, you could be a home brewer too, who has their own business one day. Like, that's super. And that's what the coolest part about the independent wrestling as well as independent craft beer scene, which is so cool, is that you can go from a person who's wrestling in a backyard or making beers in your garage to either being on TV or making your own business and being successful. And I think that's a cool thing that they merged the two together and gave them a showcase of not only just the beer of the day, but the homebrew beer of the day, which I thought that was really cool. Which homebrew stood out for you?
They were all pretty good. Let me go back to my stuff here quick.
Nothing stands out.
I just want to make sure I get the name right.
Okay. So while he's pulling that up, the winner of the day was Mount Gretna, which I am a huge fan of, right? So Mount Gretna, I met those guys when they were brewing for a different brewery. And the brewery still, you know, I respect them. I love them. I hope everything is great for them. But, you know, things happen in the beer industry where people move on and go do other projects. But when I tried their beers that were at this brewery, I was blown away. And the brewers themselves were so, so nice. And they told me the history of where they came as a brewer. It was the first interview I did where I learned more about the brewmaster than I did the business. And I attached myself to them a lot. And I thought they were really cool, and to hear their journey of how they became, because the owner at the time of this business was more or less like, these are the guys who make the magic. These are the guys who kill it. Learn about them. And then we'll learn about our business secondary. And he, rest in peace to him. He unfortunately passed away, but he had two amazing brewers, and those brewers went on to go to Mount Gretna, and they are continuing to this day to make banger beers. And the one that won was a cherry cola sour. Now, this cherry cola sour, a lot of times you get soda flavored beers and they just taste like flat versions of the soda. This didn't taste like a flat version of the soda at all. Like, I drank it and I go, so you know when you drink a soda, obviously the carbonation's there. It didn't have the carbonation feel, but it also didn't feel like you were drinking a zero carbonate. Like, the sour of it almost felt like it made it a natural cherry cola. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it was so good. And then I said, the only other beer that ever gave me this feeling was Big Bottom. And they said, the Mountain Dew. And I said, yes. And they said, yeah, we're cool with those guys. And I think they even said, like, they collaborated or worked or talked to each other about how they did the Mountain Dew to how to do the cherry cola. So there was a little bit of like industry love there on how they can help make that beer and how they kind of like worked with each other. I could be wrong. Don't quote me. But that's the one that won the School County Brewfest this year, which is really exciting. Nailed it. Made that. You couldn't see it.
Three pointer. Yeah.
Kobe. Yeah. So what was your homebrew?
There were several. The Tom Ryan guys were really good. One of them that wasn't on tap, CAB Brewing. They had some good stuff.
Do you know where any of these guys are located? Did you find that out?
They were all over the place. I was honestly surprised. They were, Schuylkill County, Carbon County. I'm surprised at how much of it was really, really local.
That's sick. Love that. So what did you know? Do we know who won the homebrew contest? I didn't hear that one.
I hope I get it right. I'm going back by what I recall from the pictures.
Yeah. And beers happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 36 of them. Yeah.
I just, like I said, once the wrestling started, I didn't leave the ring. I was there the whole day. I had a blast. I fucking loved it.
For some reason, I want to say it was the guy from Moro Brewing with his peach smoothie.
Oh.
But don't quote me on that, because I'm honestly not positive.
Yeah. It was just so neat to just watch wrestling, and it was like almost Main and Center Street, downtown Pottsville. Like, to have a ring in the middle of the street, like, it was just fucking sick. Like, I want more of that.
Rosa loved it.
Yeah. And here's the cool thing too, is like, as a wrestling fan, I think everyone has a phase where they're a pro wrestling fan, whether they're a kid or their grandmother got into it when they were younger, because that was the whole bitty thing. Like, the old little grandmas were like into it. But it was cool that people were there for a Brewfest and they stopped and watched a match or two, and not only stopped and watched, but participated. They were booing the heels. They were cheering the baby faces. They were screaming. They were having a good time. Some people were there just to be trolls and they were being fucking scumbags, where the guy was just yelling inappropriate things because he thought he was funny, but he was just a douchebag. I thought that was dumb. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? That one guy, he was kind of standing by you.
Off to my right.
Yeah, he just kept yelling like sexual stuff at the wrestlers, like just thought he was funny, but he came across like he was a fucking third grader. Like, it wasn't entertaining. But anyway, everything else besides that, everyone had a fucking blast. And it was cool to see people just like accept professional wrestling and embrace it and have a good time. You know what I mean? It is, once again, it's an art form, you know, but it was so much fun. There was another beer I had that day that really stood out. I just don't remember who it was. I don't know. It was such a busy day, but it was so good to see so many friends and meet new ones and interact. And I got to go like the very, very end. I quick ran up and down the street and handed stickers out to breweries to be like, hey, contact us. But 90% of my head, the stickers too, crushed it.
I gave out a lot of stickers yesterday.
Yeah. I got to order another bundle, but yeah, it was a fun day. Anything else that stood out beer wise for you that you were like unbelievable, like you were impressed with, or you thought was a good brewery?
I mean, I'm just honestly that they're literally from what I sampled, there were no bad beers there. It's just amazing that there are so many people out there making such great stuff that like 36 beers, and I can't say one of them was bad.
Yeah,
I can't even say one of them was average. I mean, they were all fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Everybody came out for that with their A game on.
And there was a lot of, I mean, I guess if you would say like top, because that was one of the comments, is like, oh, why would I go pay for some of these like breweries? Because none of them are big names. I was like, there was some big, even without maybe some big ones, there was still some big names there.
Let me throw some big names at you. Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
yeah. Budweiser, Coors Light.
Well, I'm saying like big name in the craft.
Oh, no, but I'm saying like people pay to buy that.
Yeah, exactly. But there was still some heavy hitting names in there, and names that I truly feel in the next couple months that people are going to be like, oh, they're a big fucking deal. Like Prototype. Yo, they're going to be, they're starting to like, people are like poking their ears up about those guys. Same thing with Wolf. Wolf was just like, and now they have their new building and everyone's like them. They weren't there that day, but Warwick Farm's another one that people like, you only can go there if you pick it up. So if you knew, you knew, and now they have their building and people are flooding to it. Like, it's going to be really fun to see the evolution of the craft beer scene. And every year it changes. Like, the next guy is the next one up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Tattered Flag was there that day.
I don't recall.
And then some breweries sent beers, but didn't have a representation there. So they had people pouring, which is, it does suck that, you know, like obviously that they couldn't make it. It's tough, but it was cool that the fact that they're testing the waters to like at least send beers to be represented.
One of the things I think they should always do, because it's kind of messed up when they don't, is when especially when like nonprofit agencies sponsor beer fests, and it's like people that are part of the agency or whatever that end up pouring, at least give them some like cliff notes or something.
Yeah.
So they can answer some basic questions.
That's where I, and this is not to the fault to people pouring at all. You did
not at all.
You guys, you ladies, guys did a great job. Thank you for helping and volunteering your time to help
people experience all this stuff.
But it is a missed opportunity for the breweries.
Exactly. Like, you know, even if you just give them like a little sheet with a little 5 or 6 notes about each beer, just so they have something to say.
Yeah. Well, they're just like, so another one, like where I think it could be a huge missed opportunity, and maybe I'm just at the point where I think the Star Wars episode fucked me a little bit. I have a hard time with the Force Cores now. The Jambas, they taste amazing. The flavor is all there, but the texture, the thickness of it.
Well, what did you think of the Schnitz Creek Peanut Butter Peach?
See, it was chunky, but it was
because they left all the the pulp from the apple in it. They didn't strain it out.
That one didn't bother me as much, but it was really good. Like the peanut butter wasn't as forward, but that strawberry.
See, but that's when you looked at it, because the peanut butter colored it.
Yeah,
and when you it looked like a smoothie because of all the pulp was, and even the pulp was.
I think being in an 85-degree hot day, a stout is more appealing than some of those thick milkshake beers. I'm just like, oh, no, thank you. I can't do that right now. It was tough, especially if, like, for the four scores, they were chilled, but like it's 85 degrees and it's not coming out of a tap system. So you're kind of banking on your can. So it might be a little warm. It gets me. I think they make fantastic beers. I fucking love four score, but I'm having a hard time with the consistency of that style. So that was
time to step away for a little bit.
That's what I got
to
do. Just step away for a bit and come back in a couple. Because like when you just do because that was a big thing on the episode for a while. We were doing like the four scores and the who's the other one that makes Imprint. We were doing those, and then the 450s we had where it was all that like thick boy, sours. Even though I don't think they should be considered out, they need a new category.
All the ones that you need to roll and
they need their own category because they're not sours. That's not a sour beer. That needs to be its own thing. I don't know what to call it or how to do it, but it's definitely not what you're anticipating. The
smoogies and
smoogie. Well, that's like Imprint's way of calling it something. But yeah. All right. Well, let's get our first one here. We're like 27 minutes in and we didn't even crack our first show beer. So, I mean, our first lineup here. So how do you want to do this? I'll let you pick the lineup.
I'm actually going to say we should probably do the IPA first.
Okay.
Sour fruit. Smoothie fruit. Ginger beer.
Okay. All right, let's do that. So we're going to start off with the Benny Brewing Company Green Tea IPA. So we're going to read this off. We're going to drink about it. Yeah, we're going to drink it. And then, Bob, if you may, give us a little what you've learned about Benny's Brewing Company after this write-off.
So this is the Green Tea IPA from the Benny Brewing Company in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. It's considered an American IPA. It comes in at 7% ABV. It's rated at 80 IBUs. Unfortunately, there is no real write-up about it. It's just the flavor profile, which is hoppy, tea, subtle, smooth, and bitter. This has been checked in a little bit over 600 times, where it averages a 3.54. I have three friend check-ins where it averages a 3.67. Open, I have a Dom de Beer Bro.
Oh, please read that.
VFW Beer Fest underway. Super smooth and soothing. Rich hoppiness with a smooth green tea finish. Dom the Beer Bro will drink this tea all day. And he rated it a 4.
Gave it a 4. If anyone's opinion matters to us on this show, it's fucking Dom the Beer Bro, you know? So I know a little bit about Benny's. I won't get into what I know until Bob obviously goes first. But I will give a shout out to how I learned about Benny's Brewing Company and their history. There is a podcast from the Wilkes-Barre Scranton area. They're based more out of that area.
Getting to know the
570. I believe they've helped, like, so they're a podcast, but also like a digital media, social media marketing team. So like they go in and do like videos and make promos for your business, as well as they have a podcast where they interview people about their business and what their business is all about. And I learned a lot about businesses up in that area, of the 570, obviously when you do a podcast and you're extremely local, you have enough in your area, you could probably make a 15-year podcast with just businesses in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton area. So there is some representation possibly missed when it comes to this side of the 570, where I try to kind of pick up the slack with interviews with everyday people. But obviously being on a hiatus, it's tough. But they do a fantastic job. So go follow getting to know the 570. And there's a whole episode on Benny's Brewing Company. We'll do our best to justify it. But if you want to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, go and check out that podcast. And show them some love. But go ahead.
All right, so the owner, brewer, Ben Schoenfeld, Schoenfeld, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, went on a golf vacation with some friends to Myrtle Beach, where they stopped at a brew pub. And he was fascinated by it all. And he decided he was going to do it himself when he got back home. He started researching and looking into all the stuff that he needed to become a home brewer. And when he felt he was good enough at it, his family owns a restaurant and bar in, I believe it's in Nanticoke.
Yes.
Marty's Blue Room. Excellent, excellent place. Yeah.
And he said it's like a, it's like the people in that area, that's like the go-to.
That's, I've been there several times. And that's, yeah. I had a, the last time I was there, I had a steak that was just enormous.
Really?
But yeah. But anyways.
Well, that's where he started the beer processes.
Correct. When he felt he was good enough, the family let him put a couple taps up in the restaurant, and it took off well. And they eventually were to the point where they outgrew that, I guess is the way to phrase it. And he found that building, the podcast, actually, I also listened to that podcast episode. Mm-hmm. It tells a much better story of how they found the building and why he decided to move there and stuff.
Yeah.
But
the building is beautiful.
So they moved into that building.
Well, I can't really say it's beautiful. I seen photos of the inside, which is beautiful. But when we went to go and we did the first episode for Benny's, was very early in the pandemic when people were doing takeout only. So we went up and we had to get it from the sidewalk, and we were just kind of like, what do you have? Because you couldn't really go in and look. So they kind of gave you a beer list and said, pick. And at the time it was the normal cans. I call them normal cans.
The 12 ounces.
The 12 ounces instead of the big boys. But, that's when we got our lineup. I think out of that series that we did, like the hop series, I think we also got, at the time it was like their staple, the Frankenstein.
Hoppenstein.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But the building is huge. It looks like a giant old like warehouse or something.
But they opened that location there in 2010. And actually that has been on our dedicated brew tour list at least 6 times. And whenever we go, literally there is a line out the door into the parking lot waiting to get in. It is crazy. And to maintain the integrity of the tour, instead of fall behind, we just skipped over it. And finally it ended up at the day where we had it on the list again, and we just said, we're not going to miss it this time. We're going there first.
Yeah.
We ate there as well. The food was fantastic.
I heard the food and carries over from the Nanticoke.
Exactly. That's, yeah. Marty's Blue Room, no slouch on their food at all. And, he maintains the same standards that they do as far as all that stuff goes. And it's a wonderful experience for dining and
drinking. What was the thing they kept saying on the podcast, the 5701, mac and cheese? Wasn't there mac and cheese? He was like, that's something the host of that show really enjoyed. Like, he goes, it's one of the best mac and cheeses. I think it was a mac and cheese.
And then I would have to go back and listen to it again, too, because I could have sworn there's something that's like one of those secret recipe deals that they have there.
Yeah. It was, I think it's over 2.5 years ago since I listened to that podcast. Yeah.
But if you can stand it to wait in line long enough or get there early enough to when they're open, absolutely well worth your time. There is no bad beer there. There is no bad food there. There is inside and outside dining. They have music regularly, live entertainment. Mm-hmm. I would go back again.
Yeah. All right. So this first one, the green tea IPA, this is really good.
I'm surprised it's not.
I'm not a huge green tea drinker. That bitterness of the green tea, where it's almost like an unsweetened tea, almost like, I'm not a huge fan of it. I can drink it if it's there, but it's not my go-to. The flavor of green tea is there, but it's, you still know you're drinking an IPA, where you know you're drinking a beer, but the green tea is subtle, and it's delicious. I like this beer a lot. Like, the refreshing aspect of the green tea and the flavoring of it that you're gonna like is there, but it's still, it's not, you know, you're not, it's like when they almost make it too good where it's like you forget you're drinking a beer, you still know you're drinking a beer, like the hoppiness profile and stuff. Yeah. Is there in the chat, cheers. By the way, SummerSlam was fire. I agree, SummerSlam. I don't want to get too into it because I don't want to ruin, I don't want to make people have to listen to wrestling on a beer podcast if they don't like wrestling, but yeah, SummerSlam was really cool. I really enjoyed myself last night. I'll just leave it at that because I don't want to go on a rampage and a tangent and do a 2-hour wrestling podcast about SummerSlam. Yeah, this is fucking good.
Absolutely.
Does it? I will say, it. I protected the four.
I think this is a legitimate four territory.
It's really close. I'm a point under. I'm 375. But that's not bad. I would drink, like, I would buy a 4-pack of this and drink it and enjoy myself.
Just remember, again, it's a 5-star scale. So, you know, anything that is above a 2.5 is above average.
Yeah.
You know, I see you constantly, like, people like, why are you shitting on that? You gave it a 3.5.
3.5 is still a really good score.
Yeah.
And 4 and above should be like, you should, like, how we're joking around, protect the 4. If you're 375, 3.5, you're right under that 4 mark, you made a fucking banger beer. Like, the 4, the like 5 should be fucking rare. Like, realistically, a 5 should be like, you blew my dick off. You know what I mean? Like, that 5 should be, I know we have made 5s on the beer, on the show, just to be funny, or we gave 5s away, but like, a 5 shouldn't just be handed out. It should be. Maybe that's one thing we reevaluate going into the future of just me and you and going forward. It's just like, let's really make a big deal about our scores. If we're going to, like, maybe not put them all out in the show, but like, if people check out our Untappd, like, maybe emphasize or take more stock into how we rate things. You know what I mean? I'm sure you're really good with it. I sometimes suck where I just kind of stay in a thing. But yeah, I think 4 and up should be like, really, really, really sought after.
Well, see, but that's my point, is so many people are making such good beer that
there's a lot of fours out there.
Exactly. And it's not undeserved.
Yeah.
I just think, honestly, that the quality of everything has gone up that much and I'm sure there's going to be people that disagree with me, but that's my honest opinion, is that
you know what it reminds me of?
The game is everyone's got their A game on,
yeah,
and they're hitting them out of the park.
It reminds me of mixed martial arts, UFC. Remember when UFC first came out, and like, if you were a good wrestler or you knew jiu-jitsu, you just ran through everybody because nobody was well-rounded.
If you could hold your breath longer than Will Gracie.
Yeah, like, it was just kind of like, it was so unbalanced because, oh, I'm a really good striker, or I'm a really good kickboxer, and like, cool, I'm going to put you on your back and you're fucked. Like, and now mixed martial arts at a point where like, everyone's so well-balanced that the sport has evolved so quickly that everyone had to be well-rounded and good at everything they do. That's kind of the beer game now, where everyone is becoming well-rounded, where it's like, oh, I can make a sour. Oh, I can make a lager. Like, everyone's bringing the heat. Like, and the reason I think everyone's getting so good at everything is because of the collaboration between breweries, where it's just like, hey, you're really good at making lagers. Can you help us? Like, how do you make such a good lager? Well, how do you make a good sour? And like, the collaboration and the teamwork, at least in the Pennsylvania side of things, I think is really like iron sharpening iron, and people really getting good and helping each other.
And this is something else that I've said before. It's rare to see an industry where people go so far out of their way to actively help each other, as opposed to looking at them. It's more like vocabulary lapse here, but they don't look at it as their competitors, yeah, as much as they are allies. It's like, once you become a brewer like that, it's like it's a brotherhood,
yeah,
or you know, and the you car companies don't do this,
yeah,
you know, airlines don't do this. Ooh. You know,
a little tart there. It's a little tardy boy.
Sour, watermelon, a little bit of salty.
Yeah.
That's still good.
I got to take another crack at that and see how I feel about it. I just got an email. This is kind of cool. Speaking of wrestling and our wrestling podcast. So we've never in the history of our show, I mean, we've broken into the Apple podcast rankings a bunch of times, which is already cool. To even
go Tanzania.
Yeah. Well, not even in Tanzania, in like United States, yeah, in America, which is crazy to think about because there's hundreds of thousands of wrestling podcasts, just like beer and everything else. So to even be ranked in the top 250 of Apple is insane. And we've done it numerous times. And we got as high as 77 one time, which is
for the United States.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And we don't book guests. Like, a lot of people are like, how can we pay to have an old legend come on our podcast and tell stories? And everyone kind of banks on their guests, and we kind of bank on us as the individual and make our audience like us. And then when we give a guest, it's like, oh, that's a cool treat. You know what I mean? Kind of like here, like, we could do guests and we can do guest spots, and I can work my balls off to make sure every episode is at a brewery. But at some point, we got to sell ourselves as hosts. You know what I mean? And I think that, like, it's cool to have that dynamic. It takes a lot longer to get noticed that way, but when you do, you're locked in because you become the personality instead of always latching onto your guest. You know what I mean? And you, like, sometimes
you get strong enough to stand on your own.
Exactly.
As opposed to depending on outsiders.
Yes. Yeah. So we just got we've never in the history of the show, because we're a weekly podcast there, right? So we've never had a situation where we were ranked and then stayed ranked the entire week when the new episode dropped and then stayed ranked again. We've always had, like, we were ranked for 2 or 3 days, fall off, new episode drops, we're ranked for a couple days after because of the early listens, and then we fall off and then repeat, and then maybe we're not ranked again, we're not ranked, and then ranked again. So we were ranked all last week, new episode drops, and we're still ranked and carrying into the third week, still ranked. So I just got an email that we're ranked 191. So we're getting close to, like, getting close to getting bumped out, but we're still there. But also, we're breaking into the top end of the, like, top 243 right now in Canada. So not only are we ranked in North America, in the United States of America, we're now ranked in Canada for wrestling.
Did Tanzania come back?
Tanzania has not come back. I think the three people that were listening in that country were executed for listening to us and repeating what we say. But that is really, really cool. And if you want to help us on Bang & Beers get that route, Apple Podcasts, share it out to people, let people know we exist. Go leave a review to be like, hey, I listen to this podcast. If anyone's on Apple, here's their link, like, stuff like that. Let's try to get ranked there. We've yet to be ranked on Spotify, which I think is a hard market to break into. But it's there. It's kind of cool to get that email to be like, hey, by the way, you're ranked, which is kind of fun. And being ranked in the wrestling community as a podcast, it opens up a lot of doors.
Yeah.
it helps out a lot. I'm getting a lot of cool experiences. Yeah. All right. So let me get one more whip of this. Whip-a-wap-a-wool. I know I just made a
point. I'll go through that while you're doing it then. So this one is called Crackin' Melons, again, from the Benny Brewing Company of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. It is considered a sour or fruited goza. This one comes in at 5% ABV, and it's listed at 15 IBUs. This has been checked in 4 times, which is not enough to generate an average. Actually, it was canned, but when I was there, it was the first one on the standby list. It was not actually available on tap yet. And there is no write-up again. It just says watermelon goza, and it's been logged in so few times that there is no real flavor profile. But if it was up to me, the first sensations I get are watermelon, sour, and salty.
Yeah, I think I feel really bad because I didn't give the last one a 4. I don't hate it, but I'm not a huge fan of it. You know what turns me off? The saltiness. I think the saltiness. Well,
that's what makes it a goza.
Yeah, I think the saltiness of the goza is my turnoff. I think I'm spoiled too, because, like, Wet Ticket and a few of those other watermelon beers, I kind of have a predetermined idea of what I want in a watermelon beer now. And watermelon is not an easy flavor profile to nail and get down.
They've done here.
The watermelon is very good here. I just think the style for me is tough. The goza. The saltiness isn't a huge turnoff, but it's definitely the reason why it's not my favorite. Like, this is a good flight beer. I would have a flight of it. I would enjoy it, but it'd be tough for a full pint of this. It's a good, like, I guess if you're, like, outside all day, it's a fun, like, outdoor, if you're sitting, like, outdoors at, like, a picnic beer, like, or if you have, like, live entertainment, you're sitting outdoors, this is a cool beer for that. But the saltiness is going to make you want to drink more of it.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they nail I think they nail what they're trying to do here. But
I don't know. I think this is a well done Goza.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Like I would definitely drink it, but
Just the right amount of sour and just the right amount of saltiness, and they have definitely. And that is a natural watermelon flavor. That is not artificial watermelon flavor. That is the real deal there. I'm okay with it. I like it.
Yeah. I think the idea of the Kraken, like the salt water, you know what I mean? With the melon. I think that's it tastes like the can, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Which is, I guess, cool marketing. You're going for like a saltwater creature with watermelon and I don't know. Maybe I'm just rambling. All right, let's crack open our cherry. I should probably do a rinse here. You go first. Let me.
Yeah. So this is the only one of the four that I had before. On our last visit, this was my first drink with dinner.
This cherry creamsicle or dreamsicle. Yeah. Now, let me just take a wild guess here. We're gonna get very cherry, maybe some vanilla, because you're going for a creamsicle, right? You're going for like a like an ice cream bar.
I thought this was freaking amazing. I absolutely loved it. Everything balances so you're gonna have to experience it for yourself. But the lactose and the vanilla are the perfect. They're in proportion, it's like a perfect counterbalance to the tart and the cherry, and it just it's amazing how well everything works together there. It's I would give this a gold medal any day.
Really? Yeah. That high up? Well, this also is brewed with a collaboration, I'm sure it's gonna be in the write-up, with Puck Cancer, which is awesome. I've never heard of Puck Cancer. I don't know if it's like a punk thing. It looks like punk, like a punk rock thing.
Or is that like Puck like hockey?
Or Puck like hockey. Yeah, I'm not sure. The font looks like it's punk rock is why I'm saying like it gives me a punk thing. But speaking of highlight news, I don't know how trustworthy this is because it's the news. But have you been seeing – I like to follow like science pages where they talk about like science breakthroughs and things that are going on with science. And – supposedly the cure for cancer that everyone has been saying will never be done or is done, but they're just not telling us, is closer now than we've ever been. So whatever company,
I remember seeing a thing about the study where everybody, I think it was like a 15 people test batch.
And yeah.
Everybody went into regression.
Regression and almost complete, like cancer free, like not even like it's there a little bit, like eradicated, that like whatever they're doing is completely eating away the cancer cells. And just like out of the 50, yeah, how you're saying, like out of 15 people, it's a 15 out of 15 success rate. Now we'll see if like it turns into a horror movie in like 8 months, if they turn into like flesh eating zombies or something. But like that is really, really exciting to think about, because I'm not sure your personal stance on it, but like I've lost way too many people at too early of ages to cancer in the past 10 years of my life. And if that can be something that we can fix with science and make, like, we're kind of at a point now where we're all like, I'm probably going to die of cancer, because everything we eat and everything that we drink is like, oh, that's going to cause cancer in 10 years. Yeah. So the fact that we can fix that and make it affordable, that's the trick. Is it going to be affordable to be cured of cancer? That, you know what I mean? Like insulin is through the roof, you know, like things that we help people right now are really expensive. So A, is cancer going to be cured? And B, is it going to be affordable for people so we can save people's lives and keep people around and they're not dying in their 30s or 40s of cancer, you know, because I've lost too many people. So if that's the case where recent studies are showing like it's looking really, really, really good, that's exciting. It's really, really exciting. I always joke at my grandmother because she saves soda tabs. You ever see like the soda tabs and you mail them in and it goes towards cancer research? And I was like, for how much my grandma's been doing, we got to be close. And now here we're talking about we might be close, which is really, really exciting. All right, you want to read that off?
So the first one, I found the thing on Puck Cancer. It's a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. They raise funds for the Medical Oncology Associates Prescription Assistance Fund, which allows people to afford their medication.
Love that.
So, this charity is specifically in the memory of Michelle Alberola Myers. Hopefully I said all that correctly. Michelle had cancer. She was given 3 months to live. She went into regression, and about a year later, her cancer came back. And unfortunately, she did not win her battle the second time around.
That's how I lost one of my friends. She left three kids behind that were all under the age of 10 years old. It's fucking super sad.
And as opposed to curing cancer, the specific outlook for this one is to help people deal with it. And like I said, this is specifically to afford the medication that, I can't say anything bad about
it. I want to buy a t-shirt from this organization.
They do have a merch page.
Do they? Yeah, I'll be definitely looking into that. I love that. Because like I said, like some organizations all just donate their money to the research, you know what I mean? And then, it's just like, we kind of forget about the people who die broke because they're trying to keep it, you know what I mean? Like, because they're trying to pay for their chemo to fight to stay alive. You know what I mean? Because it's expensive to fight cancer, you know?
Yes.
Some people just like, I can't, like, do I fight it and try to stick around for my family? And then if I die, I leave a huge debt for my family behind, where the fact that they can't even, like, bury me or give me a headstone, you know what I mean? Like, that's sad to think about. Like, do I fight and stay alive, but then put my family in debt? Or do I just let it go? You know what I mean? Like, it's a fucking tough thing. So if an organization like this that kind of takes that burden away is sick. I like that. That's a cool thing for them. I love that a lot. And by the way, this beer, holy shitballs. You weren't fucking kidding. That is the... So, do you remember the cherry cream lifesavers, where they were like candies where it had the perfect cream and vanilla and cherry, and it was like those lifesavers, like they were like the high-end lifesaver.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, like I forget what they were called, but they were fucking delicious.
This tastes better.
It's that, but in liquid form and gold. Yeah, this is an award-winning beer. This is really fucking good. Holy shit.
So, while
we're sorry there, if you're listening, Benny's, I curse a lot.
So this is Cherry Dreamsicle from the Benny Brewing Company of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Remember how I said five should be really, really like, this is close. This is really close.
So it's considered a fruited sour. This one comes in at 6% ABV and it's rated at 22 IBUs. This has been checked in 28 times, where it averages a 3.99. I have one friend check in, which I assume was just you.
I didn't finish it yet. Oh, no.
So my one friend check in, let's see who this is. They gave it a 4.75. Ah, it's Rosa.
I'm with Rosa on her score, 4.75.
Again, there's not a real big write-up on this. A tart ale brewed with cherries, vanilla, and lactose. I should have took a picture of the menu, because it did have a little better write-up than this. I'll have to start doing that from now on. The flavor profile is listed as creamy, tart, cherry, vanilla, and lactose. And if you're familiar with lactose, you're going to be able to tell it's in there. But it's not... I can't say anything detrimental about the use of the lactose in here. Its ability to work with the vanilla as a flavor enhancer, and its sweetness to counterbalance the tartness and the cherries. Everything is just perfectly blended.
Yeah, I'm already putting this up here for beer of the night, because unless kick my mule literally blows my face off.
And it's not beating, but everything is so perfectly balanced. It's just amazing how well this all works together.
It's fucking delicious. Wow, that is so fucking good. I need a 4-pack of this, like, now. We need to make a trip to Benny soon. Jesus Christ, that's so good. Oh no, breaking news. NBA icon and Boston Celtic legend Bill Russell passes away at 88.
88 years old.
We just lost Bill Russell. The Boston Celtics dynasty from the 1950s and 60s died on Sunday. He was 88 years old. he was Bill Russell's the ultimate NBA champion, one of the greatest basketball players and consummate teammate, and a voice for social justice with the soul of the Boston Celtics dynasty. Jesus. Yep. R.I.P. Bill Russell. What a good dude. He was a fantastic dude. That's a huge loss, but at least he got 88 amazing years on this planet, right? Yeah. Wow. Cherry Dreamsicle. Is this like a series? Like this Dreamsicle series for them?
I'm not sure. For some reason, I'll have to go back and look. I could have sworn there was a Mango Dreamsicle before, but I might be wrong.
Well, let me pull this up real quick. So Benny's Brewing Company is a microbrewery out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. They have made 138 beers, and they average a 3.70. So that's a very good score. They are located. All of the links are below as well for Benny Brewing Company if you want to follow them on all social media, as well as their website, bennybrewing.com. They have 26,000 total check-ins, 6,000 unique, 334 likes, and I have had 8 of their beers, which is, I didn't realize I had that many. I guess between this show and, because both times we had their beers, they were full episode beers. Like every single beer on the table was theirs. So this is what we drank that last episode. I had the pale ale. I had the Azaic Bomb, the single hop series hazy. So it was, everything was done single hop, and it was a hazy IPA. I had the Azaic. I had the Citra Bomb series. I had the Simcoe Bomb, the Mosaic Bomb. I thought there was a Galaxy in there too. I don't know why that's not showing up. I don't know. Maybe I didn't have a Galaxy. Yeah. But fantastic brewery. Some of the ones here. Oh, a Buck Tree 80 is a beer they made. They have a beer called the 570, which I got to try that. They have a Benny Fest. They have an Oktoberfest they make. Definitely got to go find that. That should be coming soon to a brewery near you, right? Everyone,
any day now, they look for the Yingling one here.
Yeah, all the main players are gonna have October and Pumpkin are gonna be taking over your August lineup of beers very soon. Do we do another Oktoberfest lineup this year? I love doing Oktoberfest beers. I'll drink them all day.
Oktoberfest, I'm fine with.
Do we sit on them? If we find them, sit on them till October.
But we probably skip the pumpkin one.
No, no. Around. Like, yeah. Listen, if a pumpkin beer sneaks in, they sneak in. But we're not doing like a whole month of pumpkin. That'll never happen. The lessons were learned. Lessons were learned that year. Yeah, but I'm definitely down, dude. I'll drink. I think the whole month of October, I'm cool with all Oktoberfest. Like we'll stockpile like we did last time. Like if you find them, I'll find them. We'll just do that route. But yeah, we're not doing a whole month of. The whole month of November of pumpkin spice beers. That was a bad call. Yeah. That was a real bad call. Wowzer. Last beer hanging out with us. Cheers. All small crew today, I see. So it's summertime. Things have changed. You know, the pandemic for the most part is still around, but things are opening. This is like, I guess, the first summer that people can go and live lives and do fun things. Yeah, so the crew,
so they can start the monkeypox pandemic.
Yeah, we're really getting that monkeypox thing going. No, but the crew has a lot of things on this personal things going on. So we decided to kind of scale back, and instead of bringing even less content, because that's kind of where we were at, like the point where like, well, fuck, if we can't have everybody here, do we go with the full team or do we substitute? So what you're kind of seeing last beer is this is the crew. Me and Bob are going to be your mainstays, and then whoever can make it as a guest seat is going to be our guest seats thing. So you will see Andy and Bill on the rotation, just not every episode. And like I said, we are bi-weekly now, so every other Sunday. Sometimes that may change, where maybe we go 2 Sundays in a row and then take another Sunday off. That may happen. Or we might have 2 Sunday episodes because maybe we went out on a Saturday and filmed something, and then we maybe film a bunch of them, stockpile, and then the weeks we're off, we drop a video episode. That could be something that can come in the future too, if we get like a stockpile of on location things. Another on location thing I want to do, and I want to put out in the universe, I'm not just interested in just going to breweries and meeting breweries and brewers. Dude, I want to do dive bar tours. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Dude, I don't care if your bar just serves domestics. Like, we'll go in and we'll drink PBR and Coors Light and Miller Light, but we'll focus on the food. That's we'll like focus on the environment.
Once in a while, Rose and I do that. Like, the one day we like, it was like a Gordon. We hit a bar in town here.
We had
two bars in Minersville.
We should do, like, a dive bar series. Like, we just kind of go around it. Like, and I don't want to just always say dive bars, but I want to do a bar.
Or even, like, a different coal region town each week.
Yeah.
Or something, or, you know, like.
Love that.
10 minutes, pick a town and four or five bars and, you know, 10 minutes of footage in each one.
Yep. Yeah, I think that'd be fun. I think that'd be really, really good times. So I want to do that, too. I want to start going to bars. Like, yeah, you said, pick a town. Because you can go to a town and maybe hit three or four of their major bars up and then do, like, an episode of, like you said, 10, 20 minutes in each one. But there's so much we could do with these GoPros. Like, I did one or two vlogs with them for the wrestling page, and I'm like, oh, this is opening up doors. Like, this could be good. There's one accessory, like I said, if you buy merchandise or subscribe to the Patreon, or you can leave a tip or a donation, there's one or two things I want to get for it that would make my life easier. So there's a thing called the Media Mod. And I know, like, people listening don't give a shit, but I'm just having a conversation with you on a podcast. but the Media Mod essentially clips onto the GoPro and it adds another microphone front and back, but it also adds a port to it. And it adds, they're called horseshoe mount, like shoe mounts. On a camera, you have that slot on top where you can slide in a light or an accessory. So this case that goes on, it has one that slides on the top and one that slides on the bottom. So if we're in a bar and it's maybe a little too dark, I want to order this media mount and then also like this light that you can buy. And then you slide the light on the camera. And then the tripod that we use, I know this doesn't mean anything to you guys, but the tripod that we use is actually a battery pack and it's like 10,000 milliamps. So it can charge the GoPro itself like 10 times. So it could record essentially for 10 hours and never run out of juice, but you can also plug it into the light as well as anything else we might use accessory wise to keep everything charged for as long as we are for the entire day. So once again, we don't need a power outlet, which is really sick. But we can put the light on it. So if the bar's dark, we can light us up enough so we can get content. But also I can load the transmitter for the microphones and put the transmitter right on the camera and record two or three microphones. And then it just goes straight to the camera and I'll have to do it in post anyway, which is convenient, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of cool things we can do with this new setup, and I can't wait to like start diving into it once wrestling slows down a little bit here, but it's going to be really, really fun. Let's crack this last one, get our beer of the night, hug some babies, kiss some ladies, and get out of here. So this is Kiss My Mule, right?
Yep.
I think I'm going to pour a little more Cherry Dreamsicle here. I'm telling myself I'm doing small pours. I'm doing small pours, and here I am. Oh, double dipping. Fucking double dipping. Last beer, if you're still in here hanging out, let us know in the comments if you got anything going on, if you want to promote on your channel. Maybe we can send some people over to check out. And if anyone else is in the chat, say hi to us. Say hi to us or hola, because we do have a Spanish listening community, which is really exciting. And I'm learning Spanish. Every single time I hang out with Rosa, I learn something new. She's teaching me. I've been slacking on my Duolingo. I fell off the wagon again. But I was doing good for a little bit there. I hope this is a fucking... I'm pretty sure this is a scam. I'm not going to click on that. I keep getting these weird emails. I'm broke. Stop trying to scam me out of money I don't have. You jerks. Anyway, Kiss My Mule. So when I first look at this, I think it's like a peanut butter beer. But what do we got?
So Kiss My Mule from the Benny Brewing Company of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. This is considered a wheat beer, and it is subcategorized as an American pale wheat beer.
Like, if you look at that can, doesn't it look like peanut butter or like with that brown?
See, as soon as I see mule, that tells me.
Moscow Mule?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have thought that too.
So it comes in at 5% ABV. It's listed at 14 IBUs. This has been checked in 50 times, where it averages a 3.58. I have one friend check in where it averages a 4. That is John Dowd. He's up Hazleton way. He didn't put any commentary on it. He just gave it a 4.
John Dowd in the house.
And again, there's pretty much no real write-up. A wheat ale brewed with fresh ginger and lime zest. The flavor profile is given as light, ginger, lime, strong, and salty.
So I'll say this. I am not... Are we allowed to call... Is the term Moscow Mule, like, canceled? Is it just mules now? Because the whole Russia thing?
I would still call it a Moscow
Mule. Yeah, so would I. I mean, I'm sure that every single person in Moscow is a piece of shit, even though their leadership is. You know what I mean?
That's another thing, too. Russia's a freaking huge country. 85% of the people are just average Joes like you and me trying to get by.
Yeah.
There is so much amazing stuff to see and do in Russia. And then to me, it's such a shame.
Like, we villainize the people too.
It just seems like no matter what happens, it's like the top of the garbage heap comes up in charge and runs the place.
Mm-hmm. America.
the czars like ran it like the peasant slave camp the Soviets didn't do much better. They just managed to kill more people faster. And for a little bit there was a little bit of light with the end of Gorbachev and the beginning of Boris Yeltsin, but Boris just wanted to stay home and drink his vodka and set Putin up. And
and here we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a shame that such a huge land that should be as prosperous as us, number one, is not only our friend, but the people are stuck in such a horrible mess.
Yeah,
and they're just again, almost all of them are average people like you and me that just want to. Wake up tomorrow morning and see our kids and our grandchildren do well.
I think that's the world, essentially. You know what I mean?
It is.
Like, we villainize countries because of their terrible leadership, but it's like we're kind of in the same boat, regardless of what side politically you sit on. I'm sure there's people around the world who look at America and they're like, what a fucking shithole. And everyone there is probably scumbags. Everyone there is probably this. And just like, no, man, we're just all subject to bad leadership or a stereotype of a nation, but it's not, doesn't stand for all of us. That being said, I'm not going to score this. I am not I'm not a Moscow Mule fan. The salty lime ginger.
See, now to me, this is saltier than normal for a Moscow Mule. And I honestly believe that the ginger is intentionally muted here.
Yeah.
But
I think if you like Moscow Mules, you'll love it.
This might not be sweet enough for some of the people
like really?
Moscow Mules, yeah. But,
dude, an ounce of ginger to me is like if you put one shred of an onion on a burger. All I'm gonna get.
I still think this is good, but I would consider this atypical for a Moscow Mule.
It's very limey, salty, right?
Yeah, the ginger isn't the first thing to strike you. It's not really sweet, and the extra saltiness in there. But it's good. It's just different.
Yeah.
It's definitely not bad. If you're a traditionalist, you might think, but again, this is a good beer.
Yeah, I think if you're into mules, you'll love it. For me personally, I'm not. I went and ordered a Moscow Mule once. And I was like, oh, I'm never doing that again. Just not my thing. Not my bag, baby. But once again, I think if you're into it, you'll love it. Bob, let's peel this Band-Aid off.
You know where I'm going
from. Yeah, cherry is your clear beer of the night contender. I'll go for second place. I'm going green tea. Sam Brews in the chat. That's our boy. He says, hey, guys, hope you enjoyed Brewfest. I tapped out after the first hour. Yeah. That was a tough day, man. Unfortunately, like I said, I was caught up in the pro wrestling. I didn't drink too much, but yeah, it was a lot of breweries, man. That was probably the biggest.
Well, we had VIP tickets and we still got in earlier than that.
Yeah,
and, I was still going at the end.
Yeah, so. You're an animal. You're born for this game. yeah, it was a huge lineup of breweries as well as a. Each brewery bought a big selection. I don't think anyone brought less than three or four. Like, it wasn't like a brewery showed up at like one. Maybe there was one or two that had one or two beers.
Yeah, there wasn't very many that only
people
had
brought
two,
heat. Yeah. And then there was this between the distilleries and the wine. It was a busy day. So that could have ended badly for anybody. You know what the best part or my favorite part of a brew fest? And I've been that guy once at a brew fest. When someone drops a full glass on the ground, and it sounds like an explosion goes off. And no matter how loud music, no matter how loud anything's going, everyone hears it.
You know, it didn't seem as bad this year,
I stepped on a broken glass last year.
But there must have been something that happened early in the day where they were very prominent running through the place to go to the entrance. But a lot of people don't realize how many cops are really there, and it's like they're invisible. And until glass shatters or something like that, and then it's just like it's like they're ninjas, and they just appear like, holy fuck, where did 20 cops come from?
Yeah.
But something happened, and there must have been eight of them. It was still early in the day.
Yeah, what happened with that?
I don't know. I never heard. Because I wasn't far past Stoker's when it happened. And it, again, just like that, out of nowhere, and like eight cops running down towards the entrance.
Yeah, I seen the cops running, and I'm like, I'm too lazy to go check what's happening.
But again, like you don't realize they're there. It's like they're experts in camouflage. They're just you don't see them, and then like glass shatters, and then they just like they pop out from underneath the porta potties and drop out of trees, and they're just like, holy crap,
so what were they? I don't want to like ruin industry secrets here or anything like that, but I heard rumors that during the Yuengling Fest that there were police officers that were flying drones and watching on drones. And dispatching from there, and there was horseback, and supposedly
I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah, there was definitely horseback. And then I also heard that there may or may not have been people on rooftops or high up vantage points watching things. Which you think to yourself, what? Like, it's Pottsville, Pennsylvania. But then you think, the world we live in right now, anything's possible.
But I mean, like, talking about them coming out of nowhere. I mean, it's one street.
Yeah,
and you just like. Where could they? You don't see them until something happens.
Yes,
and it's amazing.
It's a kudos to listen. I know I trash a lot on politics, and sometimes I get a little hard on the police. But it, as someone who doesn't want to be involved in a tragedy, one of the things I will say, when you go to a downtown Pottsville event, you feel safe. Like if something were to go down, you feel like it's going to be resolved very quickly because, like you said, you don't realize how many cops are there. Until you're actually noticing that there's cops there, and they do a great job.
Yeah, and I have to admit that too. Every year that it's been in Pottsville,
never had an issue.
And not only that, like they're not out there to be like, hey, I'm gonna bust your ass and haul you away. They talk to people decently. They're not out there to be bullies. At least from what I see.
Same here.
It's nice to see that for a change.
Which is a huge selling point. And obviously we're from the area, but you're good, and you can go to a downtown Pottsville event, and you're taken care of, not just by the host of the event, but the local police get involved and they bring people in to make sure they handle the crowd that's there. And it was a great event. Great job.
Yeah, because that could end up being like a bumper crop citation day for everybody.
Oh yeah,
and that's
just hide somewhere and DUI after DUI or fucking drunk in public or any of that can happen. Yeah,
and they're actually really decent about it.
Most breweries may have filled the glass about halfway and still given the full line pour.
Yeah, that's another thing.
That happens.
A lot of generous pours yesterday. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're getting an actual. And here's the cool thing about this Brewfest too is I don't have the glass. Maybe it's somewhere here. It might be in the sink. But you got a legit glass, not like a pint glass, but like what would they?
That's probably like 6 or 7 ounces.
Yeah, it's like a 6 or 7 ounce glass. But here's the thing: like every single time you go to Brewfest. I think there was one year where they did like a glass like this, right? Where these are fines for the pour because you can kind of keep an eye on what you're pouring. But after you get done a brew fest, like you're never going to use this again unless you're in a situation like us where these are glasses we use on our podcast table to share beer. So unless you're like part of a beer sharing group, you're never going to really use these. Like, that's not going to be a glass. Like, I want a beer tonight, and you pour it into there. Where this Brewfest is like, this is a glass you can use all year round. You can put it in. You can use it all the time, which is a cool feature about it. And I don't mind these glasses either. If Brewfest hands me this, I don't care.
In my bar at home, this is like when someone's over and they've never had one before.
Well, that's your taster glass.
Yeah, take a little pour.
Yep,
yeah.
That's a little pour glass. I love it. I think it's a great idea. But they do give you a full glass. And the glass this year was nice. The pink font on it was really cool. I think the first year they did like the snifter glass, and it was like a collaboration with Hopheads and Rotunda. It was like they did that the one year. That was a nice glass. But yeah, really, really fun. I'm glad you had a good time though, Sam. I appreciate the love and the support you give the channel, and it was nice. It was nice to see you there. Yeah, second place, I went with green tea.
I agree.
Third place,
I'm gonna go with the Kraken.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that. So first place is gonna be your cherry dreamsicle. If you are in the Wilkes-Barre area or you're looking for something to do on a Sunday or Monday, I'm not sure if it's still available, but I would definitely, if you're local and you're in the PA area, this is a beer I would say, if you're looking for something to do on a day or if you have time to kill, take a drive to Benny's.
Well, they do distribute too. I know that like Party Beverage in Cunningham is pretty good about keeping their stuff in house. I don't know who else they have set up with, but there's almost always something from them. Yeah,
seek this beer out. If you're in the Pennsylvania area, do yourself a favor. Seek this beer out. Great cause, great company they're working with, and this beer is a knockout.
That should be on tap by now in the brewery.
Yeah,
it was the top of the on standby list when I was there. Go get it on draft.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and the green tea is very, very good too. What do we got here? So we'll get a couple more comments in here if you guys are here. What was your favorite beer of the day? Snitz might have won again with that peanut butter sour.
The peanut butter peach.
Yeah, the peanut butter peach strawberry, I think it was. It was peach and something else. That was really good, but we said earlier on the podcast, I know you might have came late, we picked the winner. We both voted for the cherry cola mixie from Mount Gretna, and Mount Gretna was your winner for the day. They won with the cherry cola sour. Bob, what are you're like wearing some what? Log Tavern?
Yeah, Log Tavern Brewing. They're probably you head out on going to New York on 94. It's probably like the last brewery before you leave the state. I think I pitched them once before.
Yeah. It's a cool logo.
Really cool place. There's a Bigfoot theme going on. I think there's like a Bigfoot off center somewhere on the shirt here too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they actually have like a cutout where you can stand in and put your head in the hole and
really
like,
they like a cryptid beer.
Yeah.
I like cryptid beers.
That's another place that has a very vibrant live music scene. That's a really cool place. We need to go back again, Rosa and I.
Yeah. I think like let me look real quick. I think my best day, I don't know how your schedule works, but yeah, like let me see. Saturday, and then essentially Sundays are just going to be taken over by the Sanctuary. But I think Friday might be my best travel day. If like a Friday after you get done work, like we go to a brewery if you're down for it, but we can start doing that on every other, some are certain Fridays if you want to go and do that. But,
yeah, we'll talk off camera.
Yeah.
But I'd like to pitch one more place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now that we're every other week, there's so usually good. Some extra road tripping with Rosa stuff in, one of the places that we visited that I was really, really fond of was called the Referend Beer Blendery, B-I-E-R beer. That is they specialize in like the authentic Belgian lambic and stuff like that. It's all open air, wild fermentation. It's located on a historic antique farm. When you go into the tap room, it's actually like the bottom floor of one of the farm buildings. Hundreds of barrels of everything crazy aging behind you. It has that you can even smell to a degree all the stuff in the air where it's from so many barrels of it being there aging that like when you do the same thing in the same place like that for so long, not only do the same wild yeast come back all the time, but they tend to embed themselves in the structure, mm-hmm. especially when it's old and wooden ones like that, and that actually becomes part of the atmosphere of the building. And these guys started out in New Jersey. They became unhappy with the way the beer laws were going over there, and
it's a shame.
And they relocated to here. They're just outside of Kutztown.
Welcome to PA.
Again, that was everything I had there was fucking amazing.
Do you think that becomes more of a trend where it's like right on the borders of Jersey, Pennsylvania, more breweries are going to spark up of people who are leaving Jersey to pursue their dreams of being craft beer?
I don't know, because being from Jersey is a state of mind, and it's like fuck that, I'm a Jersey boy, and
we'll figure it out.
And it's in a lot of cases it's more important to maintain your Jersey identity.
I respect that.
And it's hard enough to be a brewery over there, let alone do what these people are doing with all the open air wild yeast fermentation and stuff. And now they're on this big farm, and they have all the room to do what they want. And if you have a chance to stop in, they have extra hours during the summer where they're open on weekends where they weren't before. Before they were just open on Thursdays. If you're into lambics or wilds, or anything in that line, these guys make some amazing stuff, and they are absolutely well worth a visit. One of the favorite ones I had there was let me pull this up so I don't botch my description, because we're going like 2 weeks back on the Wayback Machine now.
Yeah, the only thing I did beer wise since last episode is I went and bought two cases of Chetty, one full case bottle, one full case can. And that's been like my podcast beers every night when I'm like live streaming, and like I've been drinking tons of Chetty.
Oh yeah, you get through 8 million beer fest pictures.
Yeah. Oh boy. But yeah, if you guys, while he's pulling this up, if you just want to support, we do have the Patreon, which is a monthly subscription that you can do that helps us out tremendously with a monthly donation, helps pay a lot of bills. We're also available on merchandise. You can grab some merchandise via our merch page. There's hats, there's shirts, there's tank tops, there's hoodies. We may look to go to Teespring again, but every time I try to go upload things, it's a pain in the ass. The only way I really have to do is by each design, which takes too damn long. It's too much. But yeah, any support that you can do is greatly appreciated. If you can't support monetarily, I get it. Times are tough. But a share, a like, screenshot this or screenshot one of our episodes or wherever you're listening to us and say, hey, I just listened to this podcast. You should check them out. Give them a follow. Just word of mouth helps out tremendously. If you guys can do that, that would mean the world to us.
So I have my stuff from the visit backup, and actually I'm just going to go through every beer I had there, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
So the first one was called Krak, K-R-A-K. It is a creek, which is Dutch for cherry lambic.
Mm-hmm.
This was the 2019 edition that I had. And again, this is all like open air, wild, spontaneous fermentation stuff. That was a fantastic beer. The second one I had was one of the most unique beers I've ever had. It was called the Tennis Court Oath. And again, it is a golden ale that is spontaneously fermented, open air fermentation with wild yeast. And once they get the fermentation going and put it in barrels to age it, it's aged 3 years on local walnuts.
Wow.
I don't even know how to explain what it tastes like. It was just... it was very good.
If some like Joe Nobody was like, hey, I'm making a beer and I'm going to wild yeast it and then stick walnuts in it for 3 years, I'd be like, I'm not you're a crazy man and you should go to, you should be in an asylum. But like, if a, if an upstanding business does it, you're like, that sounds awesome.
another one I had was called the Globe Theater. And I get the impression that this is a series they do and they make variations off the same base beer. So after the spontaneous fermentation, they use Chardonnay grapes in here.
The Globe Theater, that's a real location, right? Like that was...
Yeah.
What?
I couldn't tell you anything other than that I know at some point in history it really exists.
Globe. I think... Isn't that Shakespeare? Wasn't Shakespeare at the Globe Theater?
That makes me think more like New York. Shakespeare's a couple hundred years back. The last one I had before we
Shakespeare's left. Globe Theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. There's no disambiguation page for other globes.
So everything you see of Globe Theater is usually based off Shakespeare. It was called Shakespeare's Globe, but then I think it was then called the Globe Theater. But essentially, it was a
lots of copycats.
A theater with like a circle, like a dome style theater. That's yeah. I learned things in school.
Then the last one I had was called the Blue Book, which was a wit. And that was also spontaneously open air fermented and aged with blueberries.
Oh, wow.
And everything there was fantastic. They're like craftsmen. It's like taking it to another degree.
It's like mad scientist shit. Anything else in closing?
I rambled on farther than I probably really should have already. I guess I'm good there.
All right. Like I said, the IWEPnetwork.com, or follow us on all social media, Bangin' Beers Podcast or Bangin' Beers Pod, depending on what social media you use. Some of them were active. Some of them were, we need to get a little better, but I'm working on it. If you want to check out the rest of our content, we are part of the IWEP Network. It'll link you to all of our different platforms, or if you're on the Linktree, and you click, oh my God, I just burped and that Mascot Mule came back up and the ginger went in my nose. Now I'm blind. wow. Or you can go to the Linktree and click on the IWEP Network link and that'll show you everything that's on our page. I implore you. A lot of people are like, man, I want to support your podcast, but I'm not into beer or I'm not into wrestling. And because they only really see algorithm-wise that I only do these two podcasts, they don't realize that there's my five shows total and plus other stuff that's on our network, and they all need love and support too. So if you're just the best way to do it, if you're on our YouTube page, if you scroll down to the very bottom, it's going to say support our friends. And there's a whole bunch of pages on there that are legit people that we care about and you can support. The first four you're going to see are all of the other podcasts. So if you want to head over to Not Cool in High School, Truth Behind Illusion, Tornado Tag Podcast, our interviews with everyday people, help them out with a subscribe. So not one show grows, we all grow. And then you guys can kind of stay in the loop of the network. We have been loving the support you guys have been giving us. We're going to order some more stickers so we can hand some stickers out to you guys. Once again, thank you all so much. If you do buy any merchandise or you do a support, whether it be Patreon or anything like that, I mean, I'll get an alert if you send a donation or Patreon, but I don't always know who buys merchandise until they tell me. So if you do buy merchandise, please send us a photo of you in said merchandise so we can put it on our social media and personally thank you. That's all I really got. Episode 170 of the books. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Go ahead.
I don't know if you noticed that yesterday, one of the coolers Revere had out there yesterday had a Bangin' Beer sticker on it.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I didn't go to Revere. I should have. I walked by and I was like, oh, Revere, I like their stuff, but I was so in the loop of everything going on. I was kind of hoping that I would walk by and I would see the zombie?
Zombie IPA.
Yeah. If the zombie IPA were there, I'd have been like, hey, I don't plan on walking around this brew fest. I'm going to go and watch wrestling, but if you can... You can give me a old full pour of that old zombie. I'm going to just leave that by the ring while I'm filming. I got a lot of video of the wrestling matches. And plus, I was helping with Bell. The bell was donated for the day from the North Brewing Company. They bought a legit ring bell. And I was like, yeah, we can use that. And they're like, can you really? Like, it's being used for an actual wrestling event. So, like, pro wrestling comes together. And we got a bell. So
just out of curiosity, though, were any of those matches sanctioned by...
No idea. So that whole sanction thing is a little gray area, but like
that was cross organizational too, correct?
Yeah, there was. So 90% of the time wrestling is like hey, we need a ring. We want to do an event. We have two or three guys we know we want to put on the show. If you bring your ring, we'll also put some matches of your, some of your guys on the match. So some of those guys were probably from the people who brought the ring or whoever was the guy filming it. It's always like a cross thing of like the guy doing production and the guy who's doing the booking and then the guy who's bringing the ring. They all kind of work together to put together a card with talent that they have. The same day that show was going on, there was a show going on in School Haven. There was a show going on in Reading. And then WWE's one of their biggest, one of their big fours were happening that day. So it was a really big day of wrestling. And
that was a legitimate regulation sized ring.
Yeah. Everything about that was a regulation size, but it wasn't technically a promotion that was putting that together. It was kind of just the Brew Fest that put that together.
And I was just curious as if it affected any of the participants' standings or anything. Or-
No. So like standings are pretty much promotional only. But this was kind of just like, let's just go out there and put a show on type deal. Like there was no like long-term stories that you're going to get out of that. Unless they carry stuff over from the year before. So like the one guy's jumping the other guys, that was just all for that day. Just a quick soap opera they put on for the fans. Our buddy Andy got to wrestle, which is hilarious because Andy hates beer and he wrestled in the Brew Fest. But he's hometown guy, so they put him on the card. But every match was fun, man. It was cool seeing everybody interact and have a good time and re-spark those memories of professional wrestling, which is beautiful. That's all I got. We will be back episode 171. We don't quite know what we're drinking yet. Usually Bob goes out on his adventure next week on next weekend and he'll find some beers and then he'll send me a photo. So, to be determined on what we're drinking and maybe we like, if we're out, I'll try to find something for next week or the week after. So this way, like one of us has a lineup so we can promote it for the week instead of doing like the day before, like kind of with Benny's, but, we'll figure it out. But thank you guys so much. We'll see you in 2 weeks for episode 171. If you're in the area and you're bored, come hang out at the Sanctuary, Wyoming Street in Hazleton. Search Sanctuary at Facebook and come watch some wrestling. We'll see you guys next week. I almost said end stream. That's not what I wanted to do. We'll see you guys next week. Also, very, very soon we have new music coming. Billy Trey has essentially helped us out, and he's making all new music for the entire network. So not just our this show, but every show is getting a revamp of our music, which I'm really, really excited for. So we want to also thank Faith and Exile for all the time they have. They've been our show music now back-to-back with two different songs for a very, very long time. Love those guys to death. Follow Faith and Exile. Listen to them on Spotify, Apple, wherever you can find them. But very, very soon we'll be changing up the music, and it'll be original music made for the podcast by Billy Trey. So we're going to see you soon. Here is Faith and Exile. Control-Alt-Delete.